First John, fifth chapter. Please stand in reverence to the reading of God's word. Let's start reading at verse number 10. He that believeth on the Son of God hath this witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believed not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, again, I certainly do thank you for the blessed book, the Bible, the Word of God. And I thank you for those wonderful truths that we just had the privilege of reading to this congregation. Oh, Father, what wonderful truth is there. And Lord, thank you for pinning it down so that we might look at it this day. And that, Lord, we might be reminded on this Memorial Day of the great love that you had for us in sending your Son to die on the cross for our sins. We want to personally thank you for that. And Father, again today, we need your help. We need your blessing. We need you, Lord, to do what needs to be done through us this day. And Lord, so that you would be honored and glorified in all that is said and done. So we just ask you for your blessings and your help. And we pray this in the lovely name of your wonderful Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Those are blessed, wonderful verses of Scripture that I realize that probably each and every one of you went over time and time again. If you're a Christian, if you're saved, you've read those verses of Scripture and rejoiced in them. The Bible tells us that he that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. Holy Spirit of God is in us, witnessing to us and bearing witness to us that we are God's children. And he says, he that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believed not the record that God gave of his Son. He makes a statement there and simply says that if a person does not believe upon the Son of God, if he does not believe God, he made God a liar. In other words, he's calling God a liar because he won't believe the record that God left of his Son. And then he says, this is the record. He says, and this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. What a marvelous thing it is to know that we have eternal life, and this life is in Jesus Christ. What a marvelous truth. And you know, that's the record God left. That's the truth. Make no difference what any of us think. That's the truth. Amen. And that life, that eternal life, is in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then I love what he says, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. In other words, he makes it very plain, very simple. He just said, if you have Jesus, you have life. If you don't, you don't. It's that simple, very plain. And then he tells us in verse 13, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. I'm so thankful that God put that in there too, that we may know we have eternal life. I'm glad it's not a guess thing. I'm glad it's something we wonder about all of our life, but we know we have eternal life because we believed upon the record that God has left of his Son. Those are wonderful truths, wonderful, wonderful things for us to be reminded of this Memorial Day. I'm going to preach a message this morning, which simply it's going to be, as most of mine is, a very simple message. But it's a message that we need to be reminded of. On this wonderful Memorial Day, it would be a great time for us to be reminded of the fact and stir our hearts to the truth. Do we know God? Do we know God? And we're going to try to answer that for us today so that you can answer that anyway, hopefully in your heart. Do you know God? We're going to use an illustration over here. If you notice, we have up there, and I'll uncover some of those in a little while, but you notice we have up there a line that says, does not know God. On the other side, we just have a line that simply says, knows God. And there's some things underneath that I believe that will help us to understand where they are, what's the condition of those who do not know God, and what's the condition of those who know God. So we're going to try to do that today. You know, I believe most people probably at least one point in their life, or maybe even after they become Christians, they feel like they have to do certain things in order to please God. I want us all to be reminded is that yes, there's a lot of things that God wants us to do, but it's faith that pleases God. And a lot of people, they're probably like me, before they were saved, kind of thought that they had to do certain things to get into heaven. I felt that. I felt I had to live a pretty decent life so that I could get into heaven. Now, I found out different about that, but it's what I thought as a young person, you know. A lot of people think, well, they've got to love people. I don't know how many people has told me that. Said, well, I love people. I treat people all right, so I surely am all right. I've heard people tell me, I've been baptized. And, well, that's good. You've been baptized. And they'll say, well, you know, I'm baptized, so I'm surely right with God. No, that's not what God says. I've heard other people say that I belong to so-and-so church, maybe Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I belong to Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Surely I'm all right with God. No, that's not what makes you all right with God. It's a good, proper thing for you to do, but that's not what makes you right with God. And he said, well, and other people said, well, I'll give all my life. I'll give. I'll give tithes and offerings even. That's good. I'm glad you do that, but that's not what makes you right with God. That's not what makes you ready for heaven. And I've heard other people say, I've taught Sunday school. And I mean, I've spent a lot of time in service for God. I pray, I sing, I even preach sometimes, and I teach, and I usher, and I take the Lord's Supper. Well, that's good. All those things are wonderful things, but you would do those things is good and proper, but that's not going to make you right with God. That's not what gets us into heaven. That's not what gets us ready to go on to glory when God takes us home. You see, there's all kinds of things that people think about of trying to keep themselves right with God Almighty, or trying to get them in the position where God surely will accept them. I'm just simply saying to you, and sometimes we'll say, well, I try to be a good husband, or I try to be a good wife. I try to do all these things. And if I do that, surely, surely God will accept me. I just want you to understand this morning, you're not accepted because of your conduct. Now, conduct is good. And I think we ought to have good conduct, but you're not accepted by God because of anything that you do. And so we want to try to look at that. In fact, if we could find someone who could just simply live such a wonderful, perfect life. I mean, they just live such a good life. You couldn't hardly find anything wrong with their life. They'd still go to hell if they died without Jesus Christ. You see, because you don't get ready for heaven. You don't get ready for heaven. In your works, you get ready for heaven. God's way, and only God's way. Amen? So we must, and the Bible says, we must be born again. Now the evidences that we talked about, all those things that we talked about, I'm not going to go back over them, but all those things that we talked about were good and proper. And it's good that we would want to do those things, but the way you get prepared for heaven is to be born again. You get new life from God Almighty. And then those things, after you have new life, those things come as a result of the new life. But you don't do all those things to get that new life. You must put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. You got two groups over here. You do not get from group one, those who do not know God, over into those who know God. You do not get there by good works. Impossibility. Any good thing you will do, you do not get over into the other column because of your good works. I'm going to take the first one off. Be moving these on time if I can get them off, hopefully. First of all, the first one talks about lost and saved. That's condition of two people. In other words, you're under one of those groups. You either are lost or you're saved. There isn't any between. None whatsoever. You have to come this morning and realize there's only two groups. God has everyone divided in those two groups. You either are lost or you are saved. The word save simply means to be rescued or delivered from some danger. You give a decent illustration. I don't believe most illustrations do the best they can for spiritual truth, but a decent illustration would be if a child was out in the water and he was in deep water and didn't have a life preserver, and he was sinking, he was going down for the third time, and a lifeguard jumps into the water and goes out and grabs him and saves his life. That's something to what the word save means. But the word save from a biblical standpoint means to be saved from eternal damnation. To be saved from eternal damnation. That simply means forever and ever and ever. Have to be saved. Everybody comes into this world in that first column. Now, folks, you don't just all at once jump from one column to the other because you decide you're about to jump. You have to be saved. You have to be saved God's way. You are already lost. We'll talk about that in just a moment, but you're already lost. God knows every person who's ever born into on the face of this earth is lost until they're saved. And there has to be something you can to get saved. That second thing is, and we'll look at it for a moment, second thing is, condemned. What most folk, I believe, or I have troubles, I deal with people, is to understand that you don't have to do anything to be condemned. The Bible says you're condemned already because you have not believed upon the only begotten Son of God, the name of the only begotten Son of God. You're already condemned. You do not have to do one thing to get condemned. You're already condemned. Right. That's so hard to get over to people. They think they have to do some terrible act or something that will surely put them in a place of condemnation. No, no, no. Let's talk about condemned just for a moment. It's actually a legal term that means like we go out here and we get caught speeding. You're condemned by the law. The law condemns you. You are guilty because you are speeding. You are absolutely guilty. Well, God's law has already condemned everyone. All are condemned, you see. According to the Bible, the only ones that are not condemned is them that believe on Him, it says, is not condemned. You see. And you're condemned already. You're already in that position. Condemned. Caught by the law of God. You're guilty. And so was I. But on the other hand, you see the word justified. And again, that is a word that is also a legal term, a legal word. And the Bible is simply telling us if you're justified, the law has no offense against you whatsoever. Your fine has already been paid. And in the eyes of God, you're already justified. You see, why are these in these two columns here? Why are they there? Well, first of all, the one is there because he's lost. He's condemned. He's already condemned. He absolutely cannot change that on his own. Over the other column, he's saved. He's been saved. No longer lost. He's saved. And he's justified. It's just as if he had never sinned. The reason is because God wiped it all clean. When you put faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you are justified before God Almighty. Otherwise, if you do not do that, you are condemned. You're lost and you are condemned. Amen. Just get a hold of those simple truths. Were both of these people up here in both columns, were they both guilty? Was you guilty? Certainly. Both in both columns are guilty as could be. The only difference is, over here in the condemned column, they wouldn't come, they would not believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ, the name of the only begotten Son of God, they would not believe, and so they remain condemned. In the other column, they're justified. Why? Because they believed upon Jesus Christ. He's already paid the fine for them, if you wish to use that term. He's already paid. He's already paid the debt. He's already done everything. And because of that, we are justified before God Almighty. Now, was their conduct, their behavior, the reason they're in either one of those columns? Absolutely not. You say, oh, well, this column over here does not know God. It's because of their conduct. No, sir. They come into this world condemned. And the other folk didn't get into that column, knows God. They didn't get into there because of their conduct. Got in there because of faith and trust in Jesus Christ, and that alone. Amen. So we find here, we find the lost, we find the condemned, we find the saved, they're justified. And then, and I want to take you over to the book of Romans. Let's go to that book and maybe mark your place there. We'll start at the third chapter. And we'll probably be coming back to that. But the third chapter, the 19th verse. Well, let's go to chapter 5, first of all, in verse 1. Let's just look at that. Verse 1, chapter 5. He says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. He tells us some wonderful things here. He says, we're justified by faith. You're not justified by works. You're justified by faith, and you have peace with God. How? Through the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't have peace with God any other way. Look at chapter 3, verse number 24. Listen to what he says. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. You know the word freely there. You know what that basically means? He did it for no cause whatsoever. He didn't have a cause to justify us. He did it because he wanted to. He loved us. And he justified us and gave us eternal life because he wanted to. He didn't look down and find anybody good. Not one. None good. No, not one. He looked down and saw a lost world and said, I love them. He sent his son to die for them. And he justified us freely. He gave it to us freely. Look what he says there. Being justified, that's salvation. And he says, how do we get it? We get it freely. How can God give it to us? How can God do that? Well, let me tell you what he says in the last of that verse. Through his grace, by his grace, the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. That's how he can give it to us. Because of what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary, the redemption that God provided for us. And it was by the grace of God. That God did it, but you can't get eternal life any other way except Jesus Christ. It's impossible. Can't do it. God gives it to us though freely. A wonderful gift to us, you see, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Then if you look in verse number 19 of chapter 3, he says, now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Folks, listen to this preacher a minute. I don't care who you are, you are guilty. I am guilty. The whole world must stop their mouths and say, I am guilty. That's where we are. We're guilty. The only way that we can get that guilt taken care of is that Jesus died for the guilty. Amen. Was buried and rose again, you see. Everyone must come to that place where they say, I am guilty. You see, and I need a Savior, and I want that Savior to forgive me of my sins and give me eternal life. Not only that, the next thing we look at is a person who does not know God is unforgiven. There's no way a person who does not know God, there's no way his sins are forgiven. He's still guilty. In the eyes of God, he is still absolutely guilty. Look with me over to the book of Acts, 13th chapter of the book of Acts. I'm going to read verse number 38 and 39, book of Acts 13 chapter. It says, by him all that believe are justified from all things from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. You know why? Because we couldn't keep the law of Moses. All of us are guilty. We've already sinned, come short of God's glory. But he says, we're justified by him who believe. Him who believes is justified, forgiven, cleansed. Then he says, and by him all that believe are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. In other words, folks, if you have not received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you are not forgiven. You are absolutely, I don't care how many times you pray. I've had people tell me, oh, I pray, I ask Jesus, I ask God to forgive my sins. It don't make any difference how many times you ask God to forgive your sins. They're not forgiven unless you've come to Him as personal Savior. They are not forgiven. You cannot be forgiven of sin and except through the blood of Jesus Christ. A person who is lost is unforgiven. Now you say, well, I know, but I've asked God to forgive me. If you are not a child of God, it does not do any good for you to ask God to forgive you because you've rejected the one who only has paid the cost of that forgiveness. You can talk all you want to. You can say, God, I ask God to forgive me. It don't make any difference. If you have not received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you are unforgiven. But thank God we can be forgiven because the Bible says in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sin. Yes, through Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Isn't that wonderful, Christian?
Amen.
Look at that. Those who do not know God is lost, He's condemned, He's unforgiven. But look over there. He's saved, He's justified, and He's forgiven. Of every sin He's ever committed and ever will commit. For Jesus has already paid the cost. Now, isn't that marvelous? That's a wonderful, wonderful truth, you see. And conduct had nothing to do with God forgiving you or not forgiving you. Nothing whatsoever. See, Christians are not perfect, but they're forgiven. We're forgiven because we have that forgiveness through the blood of Jesus. The redemption that Jesus has given us, we have that forgiveness of sin. Amen? I can boldly say that. I'm forgiven this morning. Brother Ross, you're bragging? I'm bragging on Jesus. I'm not bragging on Bob Ross. I'm not forgiven because of Bob Ross. I'm forgiven because Jesus forgave me. And I have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sin. Amen? Next, we want to look at the not only is those who know not God lost, they're condemned, they're unforgiven, and they are unrighteous. That's the condition of those who do not know Jesus Christ as personal Savior. You say, I'm not unrighteous. If you do not know Jesus Christ as personal Savior, you are unrighteous in the eyes of God. That's your condition. You are absolutely unrighteous. In Romans, the 8th, the first chapter of Romans, the 18th verse, he simply says this, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. If a person has not received the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, they are unrighteous. That simply means that they are not righteous. They are not righteous in the eyes of God. Look over though in verse number 10 of chapter 3 of Romans. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Now listen to me. God said there wasn't one righteous. That includes you. That includes me. There's none righteous, no, not one. Now there's only one way that we can become righteous. Look at chapter 3, verse number 22. He says, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. The only way that you can have the righteousness of God and become righteous is through Jesus Christ. His righteousness given unto us. See, because there's none righteous. You are not righteous if you have not received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Impossible. You are absolutely unrighteous. You're lost, you're condemned, you're unforgiven, and you're unrighteous. If you're saved, if you're God's child, you know God, you're saved, you're justified, you're forgiven, and you're righteous. You say, how did I get that righteousness? Well, you got it by the Lord Jesus Christ giving it to you because you put your faith and trust in Him. It's His righteousness. David, he may be, where's David, is he? Here. He's tapering. He don't understand this, and I'm going to tell you something. Since he's in there, I'm going to tell you something. He's getting ready to build his new building. You know, he's building burnt in. His carpet store burnt in. He's getting ready to build a new building pretty soon. Getting ready to get going and getting that built, and he's going to start a new business again. Sometime he's shooting, I think, for all of us. I don't know all the details, but he's shooting for that to get the building up and get started. Grand opening is coming. And he's going to give away, don't tell him, he's going to give away a room of carpet to the first 500 people that comes on grand opening day. Amen. Now, if he put that advertisement out there and said, I'm going to give away a room of carpet to the first 500 people to show up in my store on grand opening day, they'd blind a lot of people read that in their paper and they wouldn't believe it. They'd smirk. Then some would be skeptical and they'd say, yeah, but there's a gimmick to it. Maybe if you buy the whole house or two or three housefuls, then he'll give you one. There's you know, skeptics. And then they'll assume that you get up that morning and intend to go down and get that new carpet. But they got sidetracked. Somebody come by and they'd say, let's go fishing. They'd kind of forget about it and they'd go on fishing. Somebody come by and say, let's go play a game of golf today. And so they get on and go on and play a game of golf and forget all about the other. Some of them come maybe drive down there and see this long line of people. And they say, I don't want to wait in line that long. So they just drive on by. Some of them would just never get around to it. They'd get up and they'd think, well, I'm going to go down there after a bit. But something would always come up and they'd get busy doing something else and they just never got around to it. Well, what you may not understand is, the bottom line is, you're not going to get the carpet unless you come on the appointed day. God has also offered me righteousness. And there's a time limit on it. You're not going to get it after you die. There's a time limit on it. But God has offered eternal life to those who will come. The bottom line is, if you don't come, you're not going to get it. It's not going to be yours. You can be a skeptic. You can say, well, you know, there's surely something else to all of this. No, just come and receive Jesus and you can have eternal life. A lot of people disbelieve it. They don't believe that it's really, God will really do that for them. Well, yes, He will. Because He said He would. Others have got other things to do. Always, every Sunday, have something else to do. Or maybe it's not even on a Sunday. Maybe some soul winner comes by. They've got something else to do. One young man told one of our soul winners here, his sister Penny, that he was busy watching cartoons. She said, well, what's more important, seeing about your soul salvation or cartoons? And he said, well, at this moment, cartoons. So he said, cartoons. Some people just never get around to it. All their life they say, well, one of these days I'm going to get saved, but they never do. See, if you don't come, you don't get it. God offers unto you eternal life. He wants you to have it. He wants you to have the righteousness of God, but you got to come to Him through Christ to get it. See, it's a marvelous, wonderful thing. Let's go over to Romans. Are you still there? Romans, the fourth chapter of Romans. You see, if someone, I think you would probably accept this, if someone came to you and said, I don't really know you, but I'm just going to give you $100,000. See, got takers already. I'm just going to give you $100,000. You didn't work for it. You didn't merit it. You did absolutely nothing for it whatsoever, but I'm just going to put in your bank account $100,000. I'm just going to give it to you. You see, you'd accept that. But when God comes along and says, I'm going to put in your bank account, because that's what he uses, the word impute. Impute means to add to you eternal life, the righteousness of God. And so many people say, no, no, no. You just do it, do it. You put it in your bank account, your eternal bank account. It's yours. Well, that's wonderful. See, a lost person up here does not know God. He's lost, he's condemned, he's unforgiven, and he's unrighteous. A saved man is saved, he's justified, he's forgiven, and he's righteous. You know why? Because God says he is. So what's the condition of that person who doesn't know God? He's dead. Dead in trespasses and sin. That's what the scripture says. Oh, you say, I'm alive. No, you're not. You're dead spiritually. You're dead as you can be. You don't understand it. You don't know it. You don't understand it, but you're dead. You're dead in trespasses and sin. If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you're dead spiritually. You may be walking around in this old body, this life, this kind of human life that we have, but you are dead, God says. I was dead in 1966. I was dead. But the wonderful thing about that is we can have life. You see, the Bible tells us that we can have everlasting life. You see, this person over here who does not know God, he's lost, he's condemned, he's unforgiven, he's unrighteous, and he's dead in sin. But the person over here is saved, he's saved, he's justified, he's forgiven, he's righteous, and he has eternal life. It's ours forever. Let me say to you what's wonderful about this. Once you get over here, you can't ever get back over here. It's impossible. You get over on that side, brother, you'll never get back on the other side. You know why? Because God says, I give you eternal life. It's yours forever. See, man's dead in sin. But a person who knows Christ is alive. He's got eternal life forever and ever, you see. Now, again, let me ask you a question. Does conduct have any say-so in any of this? Are you in one column or the other because of the conduct and the way you behave yourself? You didn't get in those columns by the way you behaved yourself and by conduct. You got in there, first of all, because you're lost. You're born into sin. The only way you get over into the other column, those who know God, is not by your conduct, but it's because of faith in Jesus Christ, being born again. Now, should we live right after we're over there? Well, sure. We're not talking about that basically this morning. Sure, we'll live right after we're over there. We'll do right, certainly. But that's not how you get over there. Get over there by faith in Jesus Christ. And then lastly, those who are in the first column. The Bible tells us that they're lost, condemned, unforgiven, unrighteous, dead in sin, and that they will spend an eternity in the lake of fire. Person who's saved, justified, forgiven, righteous, eternal life, will spend an eternity in heaven. Now folks, what I'm simply saying to you is this. To die in this column is disastrous. I mean, that's disastrous. And you know what? Really, when it comes down to it, the shame of it is every person will choose which column they're in. Many will choose to remain in that first column, don't know God. And their eternity will be in a lake of fire forever and ever. But if you would be willing to choose Jesus Christ, you'll be saved, you'll be justified, you'll be forgiven, you'll be righteous, you'll have eternal life, and you'll spend eternity in heaven. Boy, that's pretty nice. Amen. You see, but you alone will choose that. You say, I know, but it's my wife keeping me out of heaven. No, no. It's my husband keeping me out of heaven. No, 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 no. It's the church down the road keeping me out of heaven. No, 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 it isn't. It's that Christian that claimed that they were so good to keep me out. No, 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 no. The only one keeping me out of heaven is you. Because you will not put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and become a child of God. Amen. So I'm just simply saying to you, conduct does not decide which column you're in. Faith in Christ determines that. And what I'm asking you to do is to make a choice today, and that you will do. Or that you may have already done. If you've accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you put your faith in Christ, you are saved, you're justified, you're forgiven, you're righteous, you have eternal life already, and you will spend an eternity in heaven. Glory to God. And if you do not know Him, you are lost, you're condemned, you're unforgiven. No, no, you're unforgiven. You're unrighteous in the eyes of God. No, you're unrighteous in the eyes of God. You're dead, spiritually dead. And where will you spend an eternity? In a lake of fire. Forever and ever and ever. I just appeal to you today, if you're not saved, you do not know Christ as your personal Savior, wouldn't it be good to get out of column one and get into column two? And the way you do that is by putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, Him alone, not the church, not the baptism, not your good works, not any of those things we've talked about, but in Jesus. And if you'll do that, He'll give you all of those benefits of column two. Amen. You'll make a choice what you'd like to do with Jesus today. Let's bow our head. You say, Pastor Lawrence, today as I sit here, I know for sure that I am in column two, not because of my goodness, not because of anything I have done, but because there was a day when I put my faith, I trusted Jesus as my personal Savior, and I was born again. I know that for sure. Would you just raise your hand, indicating so, every head bowed, every eye closed. Say, I know I'm saved. God bless you. God bless you. You lower your hands. Say, Brother Ross, as you preach today, I understand what it takes to be saved. I want to be over in column two. I want to be there. I want to be born again. I want all those benefits that you've listed there. And I know I need to be saved. I know I need to put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And would you please pray for me? Now remember, I am not going to call your name out. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to do any of those things. You just, by the raising of your hand, says, please pray for me. I need to do that. I need to get this straight. Would you just raise your hand, please? Say, I'm not sure I'm saved, but I need to get that straightened out. Would you just raise your hand, please? Someone, please. Say, I just don't know I'm saved. If you could not raise your hand on the first, you're not ready for heaven. Don't you think it'd be good for you to get ready? To put your faith in Christ. Be saved. Father, I thank you again today for the wonderful grace of God. Thank you for your goodness and your kindness. I thank you for loving us so much that you've already paid all the debt that we need, that needs to be paid so that we could have eternal life. Thank you. And I pray, Lord, for those here today who's not sure of salvation, oh God, that you would deal with their heart, the Holy Spirit of God would deal with them and draw them, that they, Lord, would be willing to put their faith and trust in Christ, be born into God's family. I want to thank you now for what you've done and what you're going to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.